podcasts. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's around each and every corner. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello, creepies. Welcome to episode 51. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on, my brothers from other mothers?
You got that grin over there.
I'm happy to be here.
You never know what we're going to say. Oh, yeah. My gosh, I am so happy to be here.
I needed this.
I even said it faster, just that's how happy I am.
We always need this.
Yeah, we do.
Micro Machines guy.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had a solid mustache, too.
He did have looked a solid 80s mustache.
Looked like Mario.
He did.
Oh. God bless him. I think he passed away, though, right?
Ooh, I don't know. You're already starting.
I know. Don't Google that.
Didn't he get crushed by a bulldozer? I don't know. Everything going all right, guys?
That's good.
Yeah. They survived the weather.
Today's Sunday.
Today is Sunday, recording
because Wednesday we got plastered by, you know, with the snow.
I'm sorry, you got plastered, but
I got plastered. I stayed
with
home
snow.
And got plastered.
I got, oh, yeah.
I don't do that. I don't drink. The snow Wednesday night, a little much.
It was. Yeah, we made that call reluctantly. But
well, at that time, it was messy. It was more like, actually more dangerous because it's like icy, sleet.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have that.
We made a good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I drove back from Kokomo and all that.
Oh, that's right.
That's fun.
I bet.
We sent that picture of Han Solo on the whatever.
Was it Han Solo or Han, was it
It's Han. Luke. It's Han. Yeah.
The Tauntaun.
No, it wasn't Luke. I was making jokes about Luke later. But
yeah, it was Han.
And I said, there's our man Nate coming back from Kokomo. Right.
You could have probably, yeah.
I wish I knew more about Star Wars.
I had to cut it open and stay warm.
There you go. I knew. I can't think of what those things are called, but they're from the ice planet. There you go.
I love when Han
That's our
says,
man Nate right there, too.
I forgot how bad these things smell. They smell awful. All the guts fall out. I think the listeners are going to go, wow.
Whoa, they're already tangential. They're on fire tonight.
Wednesday was the sleet, and then we got a decent amount of snow, so we could not record until now. So it's Sunday the 5th.
And here we
are. As we're recording, it'll be sometime when you hear it.
Sometime in the future.
Yeah, sometime in February. But
I think we kind of ran to our seats, didn't we? I mean, I don't know who got here first, but I think it was just like a...
I did.
Like, come on. We got it. Well, yeah. this is
plus I have my Burger King. I have my meal.
Well, that's true. That's fair, too.
For the night.
I would race for that, too. But this is our protective little shell from the world, right? Like, this is where it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is weird, though, because it's like... I had my work today, and I was really trying to hustle, and I did. I actually got here like 10 minutes early because I thought it'd be like a half hour later.
Yeah.
And it was a good feeling driving over here knowing we're going to record, and since we couldn't do it Wednesday, so it was a good feeling. I needed it because I was not having a good day. I told my wife, I said, I need to either cry or I need to just punch the wall until I break my hand.
Or punch on the face.
We're shot. She goes, I will. I said, yeah. But no, I'm good. It is.
I think the world was off tilt today. It may still be when we get out of here, but who knows.
I don't know. We turn the mics on and it sort of just cheers us up.
The ice melts. Everything's, the birds chirp out there.
Yeah.
Icelander man. Yeah.
So. Oh, no.
He's still out there.
Not the Slender man.
He's cold.
Yeah. No, but things are good. So
he's good. Don't look at him.
He's good, but don't look at him. Right. Well, at least he can shovel.
Exactly. At least, earn your keep around here.
Throw some salt.
I think I'm still sore, by the way. I mentioned it like
you did
Friday. Man, because you don't do it. That's just movement that you don't do all the time. And I mean, my right leg, my back, I was just worn out. I was like, I can't move. But
I wasn't going to tell the story, and I'm not going to make it real long, but I had a game of chicken with Jude. Long story short, we were all out. We shoveled. We played in the snow. Everybody went in except for Elle and I. And she's like, Dad, can we stay out here? And I'm like, sure. Jenna brought us cocoa and me some hot tea. And she said, Jude wants to come back out there. He's like whimpering at the door, but his paws were bleeding from being outside so long.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I was like, send him back out. So we were sledding down. We have a little hill in the backyard. And so we had piled up snow. We were sledding down to see who could go the furthest. And as soon as she sent Jude out, he comes rushing over my head. And I was like, what in the world is he doing? You know? So here, there he goes. And she's like, oh, he likes it when you're on the sled, you know, sled down again and see if he kind of runs with you. No, he didn't run with me. He ran at me.
Oh no.
And we bonked heads. Oh, he like turtle shelled me. Ooh. I saw stars. I got up and said a couple choice words and she's like, is he okay? Yeah. I was like, I don't care. So anyway.
What about me?
Oh, I told her, I go, that hurt.
I mean,
and I got a hard head.
Yeah. I mean, hey, the doggy's got to come first.
That was funny. Yeah, but so I was like,
dad breathing? Yeah, he's good. Okay.
The shoveling felt great compared to that.
Mirror under his nose.
Yeah, that, they.
But in case anybody wants to know, I'm good.
You're not concussed?
I think I was a little. I think we both were. I think he was a little off the rest of the day too.
Did you go? Yeah,
exactly right.
Poor Jude.
Oh, let's have a moment of awe for Jude, right?
Yeah. Yesterday it was really cold in the morning, man. And Amy goes, hey, make sure, because we let our pups out together, but they fight, and I mean, they play. And then the second time, we let them out separately so they can, because they
do their business.
They do their pee. They pee together, you know, and then they come back in, and then they got to do the other, or they got to, you know, so we let them separate so they don't bug each other. Fenway was doing that walk like, he was trying to keep all four paws off of the snow, which you figured out it doesn't work.
Levitation.
So he was doing that, yeah, but we wiped their paws because it's like, you know, that can't be bad for puppy paws, but he was doing that like it was like 6 degrees. I get it. I'm glad.
Yeah,
you did.
Sam didn't mess around. He went out, did his business, and looked back at me and took off for the garage again.
Yeah, that's enough, Dad. I don't need to be out here any longer. Yeah,
back to my warmstead.
He normally stays out there and buries his head into the snow and eats snow and it's a little chilly.
He's getting too old. He knew that.
It was 6 degrees. I was like, holy moly. But then it warmed up and actually it was nice yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, we got, how many inches?
I'd say a foot. It was like 12, 13 inches, I think. Somewhere. That's what
we did? We got it?
Yeah,
really?
Like a foot of snow. That's what it said in this
we
area.
Didn't get it.
I thought the airport was saying around 8 inches here.
Was it? On my app where I was at.
There's no
way. At least in Plainfield, it said a total of 12 to 13 inches over the last 24 hours. And that was like on whatever Thursday. When I went to work,
I could see.
It's hard to say because
it was a really good snowfall. But
my kids asked me that too. I showed them. I'm like, here's what it says on the app. I don't know. The app could have been wrong. And drifting is all. That's why I told
a lot
the kids.
Of drift. That's what it because I could still see grass. I could see
right.
But it was at least enough.
But I don't know how.
I don't know
if they figured that with. I mean, but we got tons of rain too. It flooded before it actually started icing. So
yeah.
I don't know how they figured all that, but my app could be wrong.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think because Jen Gunter was asking how.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, how much y'all get?
Oh, then if it's for Jen, it was like two or 3 feet.
Yeah.
still digging ourselves out.
Yeah, exactly.
72 feet.
Exactly right.
I was like, oh, maybe
it's
four or five.
It's all
arbitrary. I said, whatever, dude. I said, it was enough to make me sore. I said, but then again, I'm an old man, so it doesn't take much. So
it's like a big fish story, right?
But yeah, it was like, oh my gosh. But what made it worse, it's not the shoveling. It's just it was blowing and again, it was drifting. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was just shoveling against myself. I'm like, oh. Okay, I'm not late, but I got her done.
Got her done.
And always shovel around our mailbox. That's a big thing for me. I got to make sure our mailman
and then
they appreciate it.
Yeah, I tried.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, I don't do anything else.
Kept getting shoveled back in,
or you don't
right
plow
back
or you
in.
Don't. You don't have to worry about bills for a little bit.
Yeah,
is that how that works?
It doesn't
hey, you
work
haven't
for
paid
me.
Your mortgage in a while. Well, we haven't, you know, really.
Never got it.
Yeah.
Ask the snowplow guy and the mailman. They're in some kind of conspiracy.
I mean, if I don't get it, I don't pay it, right?
Right.
When I was a loan officer, we had people, they actually thought that.
Yeah.
It's like, or the people that think if, as long as they have checks, they have money.
Oh.
And so we're like, now we really have people say that. We're like, what? Mm-hmm. You're overdrawn. Why is that? I had checks. I go.
I have the book here.
But
those don't disappear.
But you got to have the numbers have to be more than what you. Oh my gosh, it was terrible.
That's bad.
I just had PTSD from that. I just reliving those nightmares of people
of conversation. Like, no, am I being pranked here?
And those people have never disappeared.
I was like, oh, right, where's the cameras?
No, they're still out there.
No, they're still out there. Unfortunately. So anyway, episode 51. So now we have reached that 50 plateau, and now we are surging towards
starting back at
100.
Yeah, we're gonna
one back at one
singular sensation.
No, we're gonna reach that 100. We gotta reach that 100.
Woo.
So what do you think? Can we
do
it?
God.
Can we do it?
Oh my gosh, we can do it in a heartbeat. No problem.
I think we can.
Yeah.
You're looking at your phone like, my phone says yes.
No, my phone locked up.
You got
up
a
on
magic
me.
Magic 8-Ball app on there?
Cool. Let's hope it's better than my weather app, right?
I used to have one of those, by the way. I
did you really?
Oh, yeah.
I meant an app.
A what?
I had the ball, too, but did you have an 8-Ball app?
No.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought you meant.
Do they have those?
Probably. I bet they do.
Yeah. No, I used to, yeah.
I never thought about that for an app.
ask again later.
Exactly right.
Why do I keep getting that one?
I want to know now. Yeah. So, Sean, you want to start with the announcements?
I would love to.
Pre-topic announcements.
Yeah. The first part is the first thing, and I know I always blow you guys over with this information, but we have merch. We're wearing a little bit of it. We're writing in it, right?
Yeah.
So we have merch. Literally, we have it. And we also have it for you guys. So we want to make sure that you guys know. You can email us your merch requests. You can contact us. A lot of you guys know us, so you can contact us. But even if you don't, there are definitely ways to contact us and get merch of all kinds. We have said this from, I think, podcast one, or at least the first several. We always appreciate ratings and reviews for our show. That really does help our show. I keep calling it a little show. Someday it's going to be a moderate size show and then a huge show, right? But these ratings and reviews really do help. And
it's huge show.
And it is a huge show.
In our
it's
minds.
It's huge in Japan. But yeah, so.
Old joke.
Huge.
Old joke.
It's huge in Madagascar.
In Madagascar. Like, what? What the what? So please rate and review. We've gotten some nice ones too, honestly. I love some of the reviews. Spotify now has ratings, not so much on the reviews, but you can rate on Spotify now. So whoop, whoop. One thing we always want to do, and we hit this and hammer this home every single time, and we're going to continue to do it. We're here to have fun. We're here to talk about the creepy stuff, the hauntings and all that good, the material that we've covered and will cover, but we want this to be a community. You know, we want, people to be able to find help and to get help when they need it. Cause we all need it. I promise we do. And at different times, you know. So we always want to give out the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline. That's 1-800-662-4357. Last four, and that's HELP. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline and Veterans Crisis Line and Bullying Awareness. And that's 1-800-273-8255. Last four, and that's TALK. And also for the bullying awareness, there is a website that's stopbullying.gov that you can go to. So we said before, if you're bullying, knock it off. Stop it.
What do I say? We're going to find you.
We're going to exactly, you big bully.
Yeah,
you need
to
stop.
You know how to bullying. Take care of a bully. Be a bigger bully.
That's right.
Don't make.
Don't
Nate,
listen to
Sean
Nate.
And I come at
don't
you.
Don't listen what? To Todd. Call this number quickly.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Anti-bullying is for everyone.
We
right?
got our crowbars and our baseball bats ready.
Stop bullying people.
Stop being mean and jerks, or I'll punch you. We'll bring Sam. Sam will do it.
Oh, yeah. Sam is.
I know he's a lover,
he's
not
strong,
a fighter.
He's our strong arm, right?
Well, thank you, sir, for that.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
And I would say, you know, we would love to have episode segment sponsors. So you can email us or message us if you're interested. If you have e-commerce or brick and mortar.
Brick and mortar. I love brick. I like you to say brick and mortar, and then I get the brick and mortar thrills over
feels.
Here. Feels. Feels and thrills.
Get the brick and mortar
and
bricks. Yeah. So, yeah. So if that's something of interest, it's $50 per sponsor. And there's no contract, but like I said, I can give you more details if you message or email us. And yeah, so.
Remember, we tried mortar and brick, and that didn't work, right?
No.
It just didn't have the same feel.
No. That doesn't flow.
No. Doesn't do it?
No.
Mud and rock.
Mud
and
something like that. Sand and no.
That
no. Yeah, so if you want to hear your name and your business name, even if you don't need the business, if you just want to, you know, hear your name as a shout out and be a sponsor, that works too.
Cause ain't nobody's business.
That's right. Ain't nobody.
That's right. I totally stole that from Nate.
Boy,
too,
we really
that's
did.
Right.
We really did need this today.
We're
all, yeah. So I was talking to somebody that's going to be a future segment sponsor, and she does not necessarily need the business.
Mm-hmm. So it's a woman. I'm trying to figure out who it is.
He's playing detective over there.
But she does not want. She doesn't need it. But so she doesn't need all the information out there. That's what she's saying.
Yeah, that's really cool.
But she's like,
I have. To
I don't
say, that's
get like
awesome.
400 emails a day. I said, yeah, no, yeah. So she's like, but I still want to support you and sponsor. And she's like,
tough. That's what we're
hear
gonna
my
do
name
now.
On the show. I said, absolutely.
That's awesome, though. That really is.
Yeah. So anyway, be a segment sponsor. Yeah. There you go.
We got to get like a little jingle for that too. Nate, get on that.
Segment sponsor.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we can.
I was hoping you had something on the
no, I don't.
Ready to go because I
don't.
Did not.
It was just that was it. I just
that was it. Yeah, right.
Segment sponsor coming at you. No, that's not good. Sam's like, oh my gosh.
Nate, edit that out, right?
Yeah. No, I think it sounded good.
I think it sounded great, actually.
So there you go.
Cut, print.
We all done.
So now, what everybody's been waiting for. What are we going to talk about in episode 51, sir?
Episode 51 has got me... I really do have the chills over here. I truly do. Because this is going to be a really heavy topic, but I'm really excited for it. And it is the Villisca Axe Murders. Let's get this right out there. This is Todd's choice.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's the king, baby.
Villisca Axe Murder.
I knew a little bit about that because you hear about the axe murders and you know this is a famous one. So I'll give a little background and then we're going to talk about it. Oh my gosh, this gets really crazy. So the Villisca axe murders occurred between the evening of June 9th, 1912 and the early morning of June 10th, 1912 in the town of Villisca, Iowa. So this is Iowa. My gosh, nothing bad happens in Iowa. Oh. Wrong. United States. We always got to say United States, right? The six members of the Moore family and two house guests were found bludgeoned in the Moore residence. All eight victims, including six children, had severe head wounds from an axe. A lengthy investigation yielded several suspects, one of whom was tried twice. The first trial ended in a hung jury, and the second ended in an acquittal. The crime remains unsolved. That's probably the worst part of it, is they really don't have the person.
All right. 110 years later.
That's awful.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, in Iowa. I mean, they don't do bad things in Iowa, right?
That's what I thought. I was wrong.
Apparently not. I mean, apparently they do.
I was wrong.
At least once. Yeah, so six kids, two adults. Very, very sad. I've always been interested in this story, you know, because of the it's kind of like Jack the Ripper. I haven't solved it. It's a long time ago. It's here in the States in a it's not like a big city.
Yeah.
And so it's just
you would think you would be safe.
Yeah. Just a small town in Iowa and then from there, and we'll discuss later, is the paranormal aspect. So this has it all.
It always makes me wonder. There's many axe murders across the country. Mm-hmm. And it just what makes someone want to do that?
That is a good question.
Yeah.
Kill with an axe, period?
Well,
both.
Both
but,
is a good question.
The axe is brutal.
That's just brutal.
Mm-hmm. That is the interesting thing.
And it's personal, too.
Oh, yeah. Very personal.
They say stabbing, like where shooting is not. Yeah. Because you have to be up close to the person. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I watched an interesting video on a lot of the different axe murders because once you start listening to some of this stuff, it just really gets... obviously it's disturbing, but you want to understand what is this about?
Yeah.
So you're right. There was a string of them. Now, obviously you don't hear this much anymore, but they said that a lot of these, you know, whether they were perpetrated by a few people, you know, or this, you know, where people got the, like heard about it and they're like, oh, I could do that too. But they said it seemed the Southern, South Pacific or Southern Pacific Railroad. It seemed like it was along those routes where these occurred. This one included. That where they said that they would be by the railroad stations, and it was easy for people to get off the train, look for a house. They would take that family's axe because everybody had an axe, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody had, and they had a
shop
shed.
Wood.
Yeah, they had a shed.
Yeah,
they'd
their
go
chainsaw.
Get their own axe.
No kidding, right?
They get their axe and they would do this kind of horrible stuff. It is terrible. But they said that this was not uncommon. So people were afraid. And they said in this community, after this happened and then a lot of these other axe murders, they said you couldn't find in the hardware stores.
Right. They
locks.
Sold out.
They sold out of lock because people were scared to death in these communities, especially this
one. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm. I cannot.
And this had to be, it's bad enough in like New York City or San Francisco, Boston, but a town like this, so small, they had to be absolutely terrified.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my gosh, it's just awful.
Not knowing who it is. Could it be a neighbor? Could it be somebody of the community, or somebody random.
I mean, they had a lot of suspects that they just couldn't nail it down to one person.
And right, somebody got tried twice, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's crazy.
They said just 3 years ago, Villisca has 1,100 residents. So it's back then. I don't know what the.
The population.
Yeah, I don't know what
like
the population was.
Two back then. You know, like this family,
yeah,
maybe
sure
12.
Very big. Yeah,
yeah, right?
You know what I mean? So as of pretty recent, just 1,100. So yeah,
so it said
pretty
the,
small.
The Moore family consisted of parents Josiah, which he was aged 43, and Sarah. She was 39. They had their four children, Herman Montgomery, Mary Catherine. So this is 11, 10. Arthur Boyd was 7. Paul Vernon was 5.
Young.
It said they were an affluent family, which this house, when you look at it, not to be judgy, but you're like, oh gosh, it doesn't look.
It was modest.
Mean, for them. Yeah, for them.
And he was a business owner. I mean, he was a businessman. Mm-hmm.
So they were well-known, well-liked in their community. On the 9th of June, like I said, Mary Catherine Moore invited Ina May. And Lee, and she was 8, and Lena Gertrude Stillinger, she was 12, those girls, the Stillinger girls, to spend the night at the Moore residence. That evening, the visiting girls in the Moore family attended a Presbyterian church where they participated in Children's Day program, which Sarah had coordinated. After the program ended at 9:30 p.m., the Moores and the Stillinger sisters walked to the Moore's house, arriving between 9:45 and 10 o'clock p.m. That's pretty late, too. At 7 a.m. the next day, on June 10th, Mary Peckham, the Moore's neighbor, became concerned after she noticed the family had not come out to do their morning chores. Peckham knocked on the door, the Moore's door. When nobody answered, she tried to open the door and discovered that it was locked. Peckham let the Moore's chickens out and called Ross Moore, Josiah's brother. Like Peckham, Moore received no response when he knocked on the door and shouted. And he went in to investigate and saw a couple people. He saw on the guest bed, the two little girls that were slaughtered, basically. And he went and got the sheriff and said, there's something horrible that's happened here.
Right.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, it's interesting that she noticed that they didn't come out. Like, a small town like that, neighbors, you kind of saw everybody's pattern, what they did and when they did it. And so that's interesting that she thought something was up.
Mm-hmm.
Because their normal routine was...
Like I said, that's getting home that late and then being up like 5 in the morning, they weren't up doing their 5 a.m. chores. It's like, shoo, that'd be pushing it for me.
Yeah, I said it was a late night for the youngsters and after milk and cookies for a supper. Oh. Well, that's a heck of a supper.
Heck yeah.
Everyone present in the Moore home retired to bed and then said they'd never be seen live again. That is so creepy.
They concluded that the murders happened somewhere between midnight and 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And if they got home at 10:30, it begs the question what you were saying, that
they found cigarettes up in the attic. So they're suspecting that whoever did this horrendous crime was hanging out up in the attic until they passed away, or not passed away, fell asleep.
Fell asleep, yeah.
So
I saw somebody, there were even some, I don't know, at that time they probably didn't have a great way of figuring this out, but they thought that maybe whoever did it, and maybe it was more than one person, had done something to their food too, to make them sleep sounder so that they could have an easier time. Like nobody would,
because
that's a lot of people.
A lot of noise, I would think. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody would have to at some moment make a squeal or something.
Right.
They said that all of them appeared to still be sleeping when they were murdered. I know this is so awful, except for one of the little girls.
Because didn't she have maybe like a defensive wound?
Yeah,
they said it looked like her arms, and she was hanging out of the bed. Yeah. There was all kind of it gets kind of. They're not sure that there was any signs of any kind of molestation or anything with the girls. But
I saw a thing. The doctors ruled that out.
Yeah,
there's no sign of it. Even though her
dress was pulled up, and her underpants were under the bed, or some kind of weird thing. But
maybe an attempt, but
maybe
didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and that's even
awful, 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 awful.
But gross. Yeah, I saw that they said that the axe struck each of the victims between 20 and 30 times. And like you were saying, Nate, how could you do that to somebody? Yeah.
I mean,
I don't see myself shooting, stabbing, beating anybody up, beating to death. But like the last thing I'm going to do is take an axe and chop them. I mean, I'm not laughing because it's funny, but just like I can't.
It's just awful. Think, yeah.
Really?
I read an account. They said after, because the father, Joseph, was the first victim, and that after he hit him, and he was hit with the blade side of the axe.
Correct.
The only one. Everybody else was with the blunt side of the axe.
Crushed to death, yeah.
And then he went after the wife, and then they said that I don't know how they would prove this, but they said that he came back and worked on Joseph again. So he attacked him twice for whatever reason.
That is personal. See, somebody knows,
That's why.
I don't think it is I'm going to get into the theories of who, but That's why I think it's somebody they knew.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just some random person on the train, which, okay, it could have been, but...
Could have been. You know, deranged, but...
Yeah,
but... Maybe he just has something against the father figure or something.
They wanted to kill the kids, but they didn't go back, and they just didn't over and over and over, where they wanted to make sure they were sending a message and wanted to make sure he was dead for some reason.
Supposed to be also... They covered all the windows. The windows were covered and the mirrors and all this weird stuff. It was very odd. And they said some of these other axe murders, the same kind of pattern.
Yeah,
why they thought it was somebody that...
Or they'll cover the body so they don't have to look at them.
Yeah, all their faces were covered.
They did that too. And it's just, that's awful. But they also found like axe marks in the ceiling and around, like in the walls and on the bed. And they said it was, those kind of indications were not part of the killing the people or bludgeoning them. It was like them swinging the axe around, and so just almost like in kind of a frenzy,
frenzy.
They were or taking joy in it, like aha, you know. You can't even imagine what kind of state somebody would be in, but to somebody that's a psychopathic killer, this would probably be some kind of a, oh my gosh, just like a high for them. And so they were, so they're not just killing them; they're like swinging the axe around and taking joy and pleasure, as far as you can understand, in this kind of an act. And that's awful. I mean, just terrible.
Yeah, it says gouge marks apparently made by the upswing of the axe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just terrible.
And then they found a pan of bloody water on the kitchen table and a plate of uneaten food.
Yeah, they found it was bacon that was wrapped.
Yeah, bacon was wrapped, propped up next to the axe.
Next to the axe, it was partially wiped off.
Yeah. Four-pound slab of bacon.
Yeah.
Which they say that other axe murders...
In the girls' room.
Other murders with the axe had the same thing.
It's just...
So that's where they tie in, like, the traveling guy that was a serial killer,
or it could be just somebody that they copycat killer.
Yeah, is that your calling card? Did you get hungry in the midst of this? I'm like, that's disgusting.
I've heard a lot of serial killers. I mean, this is not a serial killer, but it could be.
Yeah,
maybe. But I'm just saying, a lot of them, they don't have any problem. They'll wipe out some family or person, and they'll just start digging through their refrigerator
and eat chicken,
and sit on the couch like it's nothing. They just so destroy sick. This person
yeah.
and
yeah. Ooh. Well, I mean, they do that act and it doesn't bug them.
No.
Yeah. You know? Obviously it doesn't bug them. They did it.
Just another day to them. And that's
so like, all right, I'm done disturbing. With that. I'm hungry. I'm going to eat this bucket of chicken and watch some TV.
I mean, I could even be defending myself. Yeah, you're right. I could even be defending myself if I got, and I had to, where the bad guy was coming after me. And if I had to kill somebody with an axe, it would still bother me. I mean, these people are actually doing it on purpose, and they're just acting like it's just every day.
Yeah, there's no emotional connection to it whatsoever. Right.
They said Josiah, that he received more blows than any others, and his face had been cut to such an extent that his eyes were missing, which is horrible. And they said one way that they knew that he had come back, or he or them or whoever had done this, there was a shoe full of blood.
I remember reading that now.
And it was knocked over. So somebody had come over. There was blood.
After it filled.
Blood had collected, and then it had been knocked over. So somebody had... They could tell that they had returned.
That makes sense now. I forgot that tidbit.
Oh, I had it written down because it's so disturbing, but that's awful. You know what I mean? This is like terrible. The other thing is they said that when this happened, they were able to get in and kind of assess, you know, what had happened with all these, you know, the eight people being murdered. But up to 100 people stormed this house. And so they made it really, they like touched everything and looked everything and gawked at everything. And so it was very hard like to collect evidence, you know, because people had messed with it so much.
They said they had a huge, a crowd of people right out, you know, and the doctor was trying to, you know, they're trying to get them out.
They said they really shouldn't have been like spreading the word, but like one person was saying something to somebody else and it just spread like wildfire, especially in a small community.
Yeah. Of four people. What'd we say?
It's just right.
But yeah, so how are you not gonna
population of four people?
How are you not gonna find out?
Over half of them died.
I don't think in that day and age that.
Right.
I mean, they didn't have the crime scene etiquette like we do.
Yeah,
nowadays.
The training on how to seal off a scene and keep it. It's just kind of
And I think generally the public go, "Hey, it's something happened here. I'm not getting in there and putting my prints in there because then I become a suspect."
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody has wits about them that they realize that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they said it instantly.
But back then, they didn't. Nobody knew. They're just, everybody was just in awe and wanting to look and see. And
You'd be absolutely. You'd be shocked, though, wouldn't you? Like, I don't know. I'm not. I would hope I wouldn't be the gawker that would go in and want to see. I'd be like, oh my gosh.
I wouldn't want to.
I'd be the one buying those locks.
But especially back then, a lot of these stories, they wanted souvenirs. Like people would go in and they wanted to grab something just to have.
Tooth.
I was there kind of stories. Oh my gosh. It's awful.
For an arm and a leg, that's terrible. I stopped myself before I even finished it, but
I knew the arm and the leg jokes were
good.
So do we want to get into, before we get into the paranormal part of it, like a few of the suspects?
Yeah, an overview of those are many suspects emerged, they said, including the Reverend George Kelly, mm-hmm. Frank, and he was there the night with the church gathering too. Mm-hmm. Frank F. Jones, William Mansfield. Loving Mitchell, Paul Miller, and Henry Lee Moore, no relation to the Moores. Kelly was tried twice for the murder. The first ended in a hung jury, while the second trial ended in an acquittal. Other suspects in the investigation were also exonerated, so they couldn't find enough evidence for any of these people. And you'd think, though, if this many axe murders, and then like any of these guys or like whoever did it, you'd think they would be able to piece all this together, but they never did.
No. Henry Lee Moore said, though he had no relation to the Moore family, Henry was an alleged serial killer who, only months after the Belisca killings, murdered his mother and grandmother with an axe in a crime that bore striking similarities to the Moore slings. His motive, he said, was to obtain the deed to their Missouri family home. Around the time Henry became a suspect, other similar axe murders were popping up around the country. An officer assigned to the Belisca case became convinced that Henry Moore was responsible for the Belisca killings and a string of similar attacks in Colorado, Kansas, and Illinois. But it said, but little evidence tied Henry to the Belisca killings, so it was dismissed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, he looks crazy. There's a picture of old Henry Lee.
He does look crazy.
He's
Yep.
Yeah. I know listeners can't see.
There's another one, and it's the whole thing, like copycat, they all do the same thing. Mm-hmm. This William Blackie Mansfield.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking right, yeah.
I mean, it says that he's, was responsible for the axe murders of his wife, infant child, father-in-law, and mother-in-law in Blue Island, Illinois. So it's like all the same states, too, because then it says 2 years after the Vasilla murders, the axe murders committed in Kansas 4 days before the Belisca murders and the murders of Jeannie Peterson and Jeannie Miller in Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, these guys are
Kansas, Colorado. I know.
All over the place. Same state. Same. I mean, it's weird.
And he was a suspect in the also famous, which we were talking before we started recording, the Axeman of New Orleans. Because that's a famous one, just like Belisca. Yeah.
Nobody was safe, right? I mean, seriously, that'd be awful.
Right, right.
There were rumors that Josiah was having an affair and that this could have been a love crime. But even that, I mean, I'm not saying, no matter how you take a human life, it's not okay.
No.
But really, if you're really that upset with somebody, that's awful. So I feel like that's kind of a loosely.
I think something like that. I mean, you wouldn't go after the kids and stuff.
No, right? Especially not nobody. You know, like everybody's going to go.
A love quarrel.
That's what I think. And then they say, I mean, and you know, everybody's got their, you know, skeletons in their closet. But this guy, on the surface anyway, looked like a pretty upstanding father, husband, and well liked in the community. So I don't know.
He was well liked, and the family was. But they also said that he did have some enemies. Mm-hmm. Business enemies, not personal.
Right.
But they're, obviously it can turn personal.
They said even Sam Moyer was he was reported that, and he was the brother-in-law of Josiah, often threatened to kill him. However, upon further investigation, Moyer's alibi cleared him of the crime.
What was his name again?
Sam Moyer.
Sam Moyer.
Mm-hmm. He was the brother-in-law.
Okay.
The person that got tried twice was the Reverend George Jacqueline Kelly. Mm-hmm. And they went after him so hard because he confessed to the murders.
He was a wackadoo.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he was a wackadoo.
Yeah, he was a nutcase.
Yeah.
And he became very fascinated with the case too. Like he was almost like fixated on it.
Yeah, so. He was fixated on it, and he also got in trouble, like asking for to pose nude for him, girls.
Oh wow,
that,
creep!
You know, from his church and stuff.
Nice.
And that was before he came to their church and was running their children part of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Services and stuff.
Yeah.
He got in trouble prior to that.
Gotcha. Oh, wow.
No background check on that one.
No, didn't have that background, did they?
Hey, Pastor, we found something.
Pastor. The Frank F. Jones, Fernando Jones was a Villisca resident and a state senator. Josiah Moore had worked for Frank Jones at his implement store for many years before leaving to open his own store. Moore reportedly took business away from Jones, including very successful John Deere dealership. Mm. Moore was rumored to have had a sexual affair with Jones' daughter-in-law, though no evidence supports this. And I think this was the guy. They said that there was a guy in town, and that's probably this Frank, that they wouldn't even look at each other. They wouldn't speak to each other when they went past each other, and it was because of these business dealings.
Yeah.
So, I you wonder, again, how true some of those stories are or how they're just...
Well, and I will say, business...
Fabricated, right?
Sure. And very well could have been. But, when it comes to business, some people, you cross the wrong person, or the wrong person thinks you cross them, or the competition. People are wacky.
The mob was heavy back then, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You didn't want to cross them.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I could see that easily. Some just businessman just that ticked off and that vindictive. And he doesn't care. Yeah, he's not going to just wipe out the...
Well, and he hires...
You would think he'd just kill the guy. I mean, as bad as that is. But yeah, killing the kids and the wife, that's awful. And the kids' friends, it's...
But he hired someone to kill him, right? It wasn't just him. I thought he, hired a...
Say that... I'm sorry. Say that again, Nate.
What was he, Sean? Congressman or...
Senator.
Or senator?
Senator, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't actually do it. I think he hired someone.
Oh, God. That's a good point. I do think that's part... Yeah,
I understood. I thought I was reading that earlier.
I think that's right.
He was mad and upset with him for whatever reason, and then hired a hitman.
Yeah.
So the hitman, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
That's his job.
Yeah.
As gross as that is. But.
Right. Right. Yeah, he still had it done, but it, yeah. I didn't
it wasn't me,
actually
yeah.
do the...
Yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't really
that's
do
awful.
It.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You think about that, what goes through somebody's
Manson,
mind,
you know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know,
he was completely innocent, right?
Yeah. Well, I didn't do it. I just coaxed six other people or whatever. I don't know how many people.
Before we started recording, you were talking, Todd, about how, this is a small community and, this is a horrible part of their history they can never get rid of. But, and they showed pictures of what it looked like back then, but then it looks like, they got a new barn in the back and they've got, the house has been somewhat redone, it looks like, but each of the rooms seems like it's trying to, be respectful of each of the victims and kind of what, and all that kind of stuff. But it does, it has a sign that, Villisca or X murder house, So obviously there's some notoriety and all that kind of stuff, but you can still, you can go visit. They do overnights here. People do get a lot of strange things. I saw this is so sad. They have at the, so there's a Bible that sits open to the book of Job with photographs.
Ooh, my favorite book.
Right.
The Bible.
Not
Job.
Not Job. Job. Right.
Nope.
Job is not the favorite. The book of Job, with photographs of the Moore family in the living room inside the Villisca axe murder house. On September 30th, this was a picture from 2020. Villisca is the site of one of the oldest cold cases in Iowa, in which eight people were murdered in their beds. The killer was never found, sparking many theories of interest in this case. The house, which was renovated and reopened as a museum to the public, is now the site of paranormal activity and attracts thousands of tourists every year. Mm-hmm. I just think that's so sombering, and it is. You see all those the family there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw. I haven't seen this picture yet. Before, it's a picture of the back of the house, and it has the two corner windows, like Amityville.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yeah,
it does. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that. I always just see the same angle or the same front picture.
Not a whole lot of differences in those pictures either.
Yeah, gotcha.
There's a tree may have been added, and the barn's different. There's not much difference in the houses. It looks like it's it's been refurbished a little bit.
Well, they've tried to keep it to the time, so they said that the curtains are still drawn,
covered.
Covered, yeah,
so
yeah, that's
sad.
What I meant, yeah. I know it is sad. Oh, what they say. I literally just got out of the notes I had. Anyway, yeah, but they're trying to keep it kind of like what it was, you know. But yeah, they'd have to have some type of upkeep or it's just going to fall
I think
apart.
It's that they leave toys out for the kids.
Yeah.
And they said that there's there was a picture of...
Sorry, real quick. They have the same furniture.
Like, yeah, so, yeah, right.
And mm-hmm. beds and all. Yeah, like you said, yeah. So.
Which gives it that...
Trying to keep it.
Very nostalgic, mm-hmm. but it's also... I've never been there before. I'd love to go, yeah. by the way. That's mm-hmm. We're answering that question already, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it is just sobering to see that kind of, you know, just to know the horrors that happened in that house.
Mm-hmm.
But they said there was an investigation up in the attic, and they have a chair sitting like in the middle of the room, and it shows the picture that the chair leg during the picture was lifted off the ground a little bit. They say that was not the case.
That, yeah.
To me, it's like, it could be just an uneven floor, an uneven chair. That's not all that amazing to
sure.
me, but they're saying that that was not the way it was before they took that picture. So it's almost like a spirit was like, hee hee, you know, we're here.
Right.
So that's pretty interesting in itself.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just a very fascinating piece of history, sad and awful and brutal. And then you get the, still unsolved, but then you get the fun, paranormal, creepy stuff.
Residual energy.
Yes. So anyway, do we want to, if there's more you want to talk about as far as the murder, you know,
I think
murderers.
Those, the little girls that spent the night, Ina and Lena, they were, they live 7 miles away. I think they got message to their parents like, hey, they're going to spend the night, so they're fine. You know, so can you imagine being those parents and think, oh, our daughters are fine, and then the next morning, no, they're not. I mean, I can't even imagine. That would
wrong place at the wrong time.
Awful.
And that's pretty much what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, six kids. I don't know. It's pretty sad. And like Nate said, brutal. Just, even if you don't want to, like just bludgeoning them to death is awful. I think that's an awful way to do, kill somebody. Just, you know, because it's not going to, I mean, it could be instantaneous, but sometimes, I mean, I've never done it, so I have no experience, either way, it's just awful.
They say that you go in there, this is a very short, but it's chilling. Just this says the cries of long dead children are still heard at the Villisca axe murder house, and the killer's ghost remains as maniacal in death as he was in life. So they pick up the ghost of the actual killer, whoever that was, right? In a lot of these investigations or when people are just there visiting, they say you can hear it outside of the house. You can hear it inside the house. People get all kind of crazy feelings and hear voices and cries. It's just, that to me is just spine tingling and chilling. It's just awful.
Yeah.
This gets to me. I'll admit it's interesting, but it is so sad.
They said they did do, some remodeling from between the 1912 mm-hmm. murder and 1994. They added a bathroom, did away with the porch and made the kitchen larger. I was not even looking for this. I was looking at some of the paranormal stories I have, and I was like, oh, they did do some remodeling. So it sounds like, yeah, the majority of it, they tried to keep to the way it was, but they have made some changes. So, and of course, it's a museum now, too. But a lot of investigations go on, and tourism, yeah. So you guys want to get into, do you have, like, some stories lined up for the paranormal part?
Sure. Do you have one, Nate?
I'm looking for them. I had a hard time finding, like, I find plenty of saying that it's haunted and there's accounts of it, but I have been having a hard time really finding anything like, this is the story, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Which is odd. Usually, I mean, that kind of stuff just pops out real easy.
Yeah, so this guy, his last name is Hauser. I was trying to find his first name. Cannot find it, and it's not Dick Hauser, the old Kansas City Royals manager. somebody out there
will gotta play. Put sports in there anytime, right?
I know. He said walking into the house felt like a moment frozen in time, as though someone had locked up every memory, word, and action inside it and thrown away the key. The way, they said that the whoever committed the murders did lock up, and they took the key with them.
Yeah. All the doors were locked. The brother had to come and unlock the door.
Okay,
yep, that's right. I forgot about that.
He says, this guy is Hauser, he said, according to Hauser, the murder murderer placed sheets over each mirror in the house. Okay, we were talking about to manufacture the same look. Okay, from June 9th. They said the mirrors were still covered with the white sheets, haunting. So when he first came to the house, Hauser said he was super into UFO conspiracies but thought the idea of ghosts was stupid. That was until he heard footsteps while he was alone in the house. While cleaning one day, the guide heard someone walk upstairs and shut a dresser drawer. Thinking someone had broken in, he walked up the stairs to confront what he believed to be a trespasser. He is quoted saying, "So I go up and kick this guy, I'm going up to kick this guy out." He goes, "Nobody's up there." He said, he's talking to his buddies afterwards, and they're all saying, "Oh, houses make noises." And he says, "Like, I'm fully aware of what footsteps is at this point in my life. I'm not a complete idiot." He says, "So that's what kind of got me started staying the night." So it kind of sounds like he was not into the whole ghost thing, but then a little bit of an experience kind of got his curiosity. So I thought that was interesting.
Got him hooked.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have anything, Sean? I've
this
got more,
one,
but I don't want to
there,
keep going.
No, that's fine. There was it's called Ghostly Encounters. It says, "Naturally, a house with such a dark and mysterious past quickly attracted rumors of hauntings. The house was lived in for many years after the murder, although families never stayed for long." You can imagine why. "From what I can tell, there's not a ghostly phenomenon that hasn't been reported in this house. Disembodied footsteps, things moving, voice apparitions, shadows, bad vibes, you name it, the Vasilla Axe Murder House has it. It's been on basically every ghost hunting show, from Ghost Adventures to Scariest Places on Earth, and all the essential spooky podcasts, including Lore and My Favorite Murder." It said, what was it? It was talking about how decided to make a stop, stay overnight at the house. It's funny because the picture does show it very, it's the Axe Murder House. It says, "On my way out to the barn, the barn to the house itself, I noticed a corkboard with some photos pinned on it. Upon closer inspection, I realized that the pictures were evidence of paranormal spookiness going on. There were lots of nightmare pictures with ghostly orbs and even a snapshot of someone whose back had been scratched supposedly by an unseen entity," which I think a lot of these, we saw that at Whispers, at Whispers Estate. They had a book of all the things, and it is they've got a picture of it, the floating orbs and all that, but the scratches. So if you see that kind of stuff where there is attacks, there is a malicious spirit there. And, you would think that would have to be the murder,
right.
That spirit. It's just awful. So,
well, with 8 people murdered and then, the murderer or murderers. Yeah. Who knows who's left behind there?
I found one.
What you got?
Ooh. All right. Early in the 1930s, the house was rented out to Homer and Bonnie Rittner, a young couple married in November of 1930. Shortly after the marriage, Bonnie was expecting, and the family had little money. Using the money saved from his labor job, Homer managed to pay the deposit and first month's rent on the house. Shortly after the couple moved in, Bonnie told Homer of multiple occasions that she thought someone was in the house. She heard strange noises through the night. She also began seeing images of a man with an axe looming over the foot of their bed.
Ooh.
Bonnie became hysterical and woke Homer, who could only try to calm her. The occurrences were so frequent and intense that the couple went to a local physician, Dr. Cooper, who advised Bonnie that if she continued to raise her stress levels so high, she could lose her unborn baby.
Ooh. That ain't good.
Nah.
No.
Yeah, that freaked me out too.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Waking up and seeing a silhouette of a axe murderer.
Right.
Woo. I think it was scary to death, right?
Yeah.
Little chills there.
It's a tight-knit place, and that's what it looks like from the pictures. It says, "This is not a big place, and it's hard to imagine that there were 8 people sleeping there that night, let alone that a murderer would be able to hide out here undetected."
Sure.
"The place was furnished with a creepy mix of period antiques and modern kids' toys, which, anachronistic, definitely lent an unsettling air to the place, especially in the kids' room upstairs." It's true, like I said, all the toys and the balls and everything everywhere. Particularly haunting was the attic space, where the murderer allegedly hid out while he waited for the family to fall asleep. It was oppressively hot, and the feeling I had while I was up there can only be described as dark. So it's like dark and heavy presence up there, because that's where they hid out. And it's this little tiny door that comes out, and goes into the rest of the house. But like I said, it's such a tight space. I mean, it just, that gives it even more of a creep.
This isn't a mansion or a big big house at all.
No, it's very, relatively
very, very modest. Yeah, mm-hmm. And yeah, having that many people, you, I don't know.
Well, because the two girls that stayed with them, they're downstairs, mm-hmm. in like a guest bedroom or maybe just a front living room.
Sure.
You know?
This said that the house was slated to be torn down by a local woman named Martha Lynn decided that it was an important piece of history for the town and it was worth saving. After she bought the house in 1994, she quickly realized that there was a huge organic interest in opening it for tours and overnight ghost hunts. She did some work to take out the plumbing and restore the appearance and make it look as much as it did back in 1912. Mm. So, but she, yeah, it's like story after story after story of all these presences and orbs and mm-hmm. attacks, and it's awful.
I found, here's a story from the Daily Iowan. Pretty recent, October of 2020. Madison Lautenstein and Brooklyn Drazy, they decided to stay the night in the axe murder house. And she said, I'll kind of skip ahead here. It says, listening to the whispers of disembodied voices was not something I planned on falling asleep to. The voices, reminiscent of Parcel Tongue from the Harry Potter book series, caused me to open my eyes and examine the 19th century-esque living room where the rest of the Daily Iowan team slept. No one was talking. No one was moving. I shivered, knowing full well that whoever or whatever was talking was not being of this world. But that's what student journalists like me, Madison Lautenstein, get for spending the night at the Velisca Axe Murder House. A group made up of myself, project editors, you know, they give a bunch of people's names.
Yeah.
They stayed the night in the house to learn about its history and to see if we could spot some ghosts. Then it just goes into, and it just said, you know, on June 9th, 1912, just kind of tell real quick.
Go, give the overview.
Yeah. So the main reason for spending the night, well, to see if the house is truly haunted, of course. Learning on an old-fashioned black iron stove earlier that afternoon, Hauser that I was previously talking about, told the DI that in his 15 years working at the house, he has stayed the night over 400 times.
Wow. I'd be lucky to stay once.
I know. 400 times. Says visitors not only bring their own beliefs and camera / paranormal gear, they also sometimes bring toys for the ghost, in quotes, ghost children to play with. Yeah.
That's
and so
sad.
Yeah, like you said, you can be seen scattered around and dolls and bouncy balls, toy sports cars. Yeah, it's like 400 times, really.
That's a lot. I think that's the worst thing is that there's so many child spirits that would be stuck there. Cause you, I mean, all of them, can you imagine like you went to bed, living a perfectly normal life, and then you don't wake up the next morning, basically. Mm-hmm. And if your spirit is stuck like that, it's awful. It says, I found this is from things moving to the sound of footsteps downstairs while, on the second floor, there were a few experiences of a toy car sitting on an old stove behind this person. And a bit earlier, they said it had been lying on the other side of the stove upside down. Can't be too sure if it was something that like a mind trick or a ghost playing tricks on this person. But either way, it said it definitely got this person's attention as they were observing it.
Sure. Hmm.
I think it's interesting. We always look at like we said it's closed tomorrow, so you can't go tomorrow. We were thinking about going tonight and
so
being
it's
there
closed
tomorrow.
Sundays and Mondays. Yeah.
So daytime tours are held Tuesdays through Sundays. So you're right between 1 p.m. and 3:30 p.m. No pre-booking required. Just show up. Right. Tours are $10 for adults and $5 for children and seniors. Hmm. Isn't that funny? That's not that bad.
Here's another story of previous. Owners or renters. Two young girls and their parents rented the property from the state bank between 1963 and 1971. The father was a truck driver and was gone for long periods of time often. The girls would awaken in the night to hear children crying. Mm. On occasion, they would return to their rooms to find drawers open and clothes thrown around the room. They told their parents, but their claims were mostly dismissed. Until one final incident occurred involving their father. During the evening, their father was sharpening his pocket knife at the kitchen table. Without explanation, the knife flew from his hand and stabbed him in the palm. There was no logical way for the knife to have slipped accidentally. This was the final straw for the family. They packed up and left that evening.
Hmm. Ooh. That would do it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Made my mind up.
That would do it. I've got one. It's knife related, stabbing related, but a little bit different. And I have heard this before, so I was trying to find the story, and I did. So I'm pretty proud of myself. So it said the time a ghost hunter stabbed himself at my axe murder museum. So this was, I think from 2014. So it says, this is a small extract from our latest episode of Extremes, a Vice podcast exclusive to Spotify. The Villisca Axe Murder House, in Villisca, Iowa, says no one was ever convicted for the crime, and the house passed through a series of hands until it became a museum in the 1990s. Said it was around this time that the place developed a reputation for being haunted. Museum guests said they heard footsteps, empty rooms, saw objects, like we all said, different disembodied voices. As a result, the house began to attract self-proclaimed paranormal investigators from around the world, and the museum's owners, Darwin and Martha Lynn, sensed a market opportunity and opened it for overnight accommodation. It said, on the night of November 7th, 2014, a ghost hunter and his elderly parents checked into the Villisca Axe Murder House. Johnny Hauser is the building's caretaker, and he was the one to check the guest in that night before he went home to bed. He had no idea that only a few hours later, the couple's middle-aged son would be found in a pool of blood with a hunting knife protruding from his chest. Apparently, he had stabbed himself in the axe murder house for no clear reason at all. He said, here we're exploring the story from Johnny's perspective. The article is, let's see, in Johnny's own words, he describes what happened that night and how the incident changed his feelings about the house. After the stabbing, even he, the building's own caretaker, stopped doing overnight stays and started avoiding being there alone. It basically says that he lost his mind.
Didn't get to there. 401. Wow. Right?
Yeah, no, but so
that's
this,
awful.
So this,
that's
this
really terrible.
Guy, it's, yeah, stabbed, yeah.
That dark presence in there, I think if you, I don't know, it just.
But see, the funny thing is the murderer.
But I've heard that story before.
Didn't die in there, so why is there such a vicious.
But you would think that
entity,
right? Well, that residual energy could still be there.
Well, yeah. But I've heard a lot of stories like that. They're just, you got some murderer or whatever. He even though he didn't die in there, he's still being who he was 110 years ago. Yeah. So he's
like
still
Capone
haunting.
And Alcatraz, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, just, like they say, if you're jerking here in life,
His
energy is still there.
Wants to be
it's a great question,
that
honestly,
evil person, that killer, or whatever, that murderer. Now,
or here's another idea, and I mean, this is just totally like me riffing about
the family
it,
dog did it.
The family dog reside. No,
I thought it was the fish.
My thing is if something horrible happens there, you could attract some kind of an evil entity, like, ooh,
yeah,
you
true. Know, some demon- Such bad.
We've talked so much about demonic spirits that a demonic spirit could be like, oh, this looks like a good place to reside, or more.
There's
more.
A nice little seed.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah. And eight people getting murdered. Yeah, that would definitely.
Hope and pray that the other spirits are at peace and rest, right. But they may not be. So
yeah,
God bless their souls, honestly.
This
was I knew this would be a tough one, but I was also looking forward to it. It was very weird.
Oh, yeah, it's famous.
You know?
I mean,
it's
fun about I've heard multiple
fun slash horrific
other
slash
podcasters talk about
terrifying
this, but
to talk about
maybe our listeners haven't.
Yeah,
I haven't heard of it,
and I don't care.
But I don't generally. Go looking for ex-murder stories.
Oh, yeah. But now you will. Right? You're like, and now I do.
Yeah. Well, but people say, I don't want to do the same old, story. We haven't done it. So
we haven't done it.
And we haven't done it. And our listeners,
we haven't,
some have, but
we haven't done it the way that we do things, right?
I don't
very
care if
logical,
we're rehashing the same.
Very, we have foundation, right? Brick and mortar. No, we don't do any of that.
I feel like we're all over the place.
Nate for today.
That was the best line.
You said that the other. I don't remember what episode it was, but even
it was.
We're all over the place.
I actually rewound it. I mean, I not rewound. Wow, I'm really
to laugh again.
I moved the tape back. Moved my pencil.
cassette player.
That cracked me up so much. He goes, we're just all over the place. Because Sean was like, how do we do it? We do this. We do it in our own way.
Right?
We do it our own way.
I just said something like that.
Oh, we're all over the
place. You know the whole concept of a timeline? Yeah, we don't follow
that.
We
don't have that. Yeah. That's the thing is that...
And that's why when I said I want to do a podcast, and I said, Sean, I want a discussion. Yeah, sure, we read, but that's part of it. It's like, oh, hey, you know,
I've read off the script this entire time. No, that's a fun thing though. The funny thing is that you're right, and nobody does it quite like us. But we have. It's just interesting that like it's our take on it. But all these things. When we give these people, I guarantee there are things that are left out or stories that are left out. So the fun thing is that the listeners can go and look into this stuff and be like, hey, I found this out. Oh my gosh. And then, and it leads them to look into something else. And so it's just a,
Keep it open-ended.
Yeah. It's kind of like opening the door to a restaurant and like, there's a buffet over there. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what we do. Yeah. That's a weird little analogy, but
crab legs are excellent.
I think in food and music, you know that, right? Yeah. So,
but you might find something better.
Consider maybe this is the sushi bar now.
We're all over the place. That was awesome. And I remember you saying
I'll put my metaphors away now.
Yeah, the Velisca. The Velisca. A lot of people leave teddy bears and for the kids.
Oh, it's so sad. Yeah. Oh, for the record.
Yeah, I hope the kids aren't around.
For the record, Jenna thinks that nobody understands my metaphors, by the way. So did my metaphor make sense to you?
No. Oh, I didn't think so.
No. Rumbly in my tummy. She's like, why are you talking metaphors? Nobody understands metaphors. I'm like,
I don't know.
Okay, well, that 1% out there that understands is going to be like, oh, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's me. They make sense most of the time.
I get it.
I don't know if I want to get
it. As long as I'm not speaking in pig
I'm
Latin.
I'm afraid if I get it. Yeah.
I know. Suck you down the rabbit hole.
Anybody have any other...
It's haunted.
Oh my gosh.
Nate's like, it's haunted.
I saw
very dark. One of the famous ones, I tell you.
It's a outside access cellar with the double doors, you know, like
Oh yeah.
You know, get away from the twister, you know,
right.
Type thing. I saw a picture down the stairway into there.
Oh, I bet that's creepy.
Thankfully, I don't think anything ever happened down there because it looked pretty creepy.
We talked about that before, right. Like the basements and the crawl spaces and all this stuff are the spookiest attics. And the scariest and were really nasty.
Anytime you have to walk downstairs or upstairs.
I always think about that. Yeah, Blair Witch stuff always gets in my head, like, or Texas Chainsaw Massacre type. Yeah.
We'll just hide behind the sharp objects.
I'll hide behind Nate. You go first, Nate. Very dangerous.
Yeah. Don't worry about the car that's already running.
Exactly. Right,
we're going to hide back here.
All right, yeah.
You got remote start, right?
Yeah.
What is wrong with these people?
I know.
That's one of my favorite commercials.
That is funny.
It's very funny. Oh, my gosh, guys. I think I'm done.
Y'all axe murdered out for the moment.
I'm axe murdered out.
Till the next axe murderer story.
Yeah. It is amazing how many investigations have gone on there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of and TV shows. I'm just, Ghost Hunters, Kindred Spirits. Kindred Spirits, Amy Bruni, I reached out to you. I want to hear back from you. She hasn't seen my message yet.
You're watching, aren't you? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You're like, I'm keeping an eye on it. That's funny.
But yeah, it's definitely a popular destination for paranormal fun.
Also, we promise that we're not stage 5 clingers out there. Maybe a little bit. Just a little. No.
No. Isn't that crazy that guy stabbed himself too? Like, why?
Yeah.
Something's...
It really is.
It's like something made him do that. I mean...
Darkness.
Not just him.
Darkness.
As I...
Bong.
Yeah, so...
The funeral chimes, right?
Oh, there you go. So, guys, check out the house on the interweb. Check out the Velisca. Yeah, and look at the family pictures and
tell us what you think, right?
Like. Yeah.
So I know this goes without saying. I know we do this. We're all going. We're all investigating. Nate's bringing his flashlights. Doing it overnight.
Yeah, it can't be that far.
No sleeping will be done by me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say.
So oh, I'm sleeping.
It's a slant. You can sleep. Yeah, right. Take a little night nap. Uh-huh. Sure. You do that.
That's right.
We're going. All right, then that must mean that we're going into the middle-aged moment, and I'm going to give some credit. I have a friend of mine named David Clark, so shout out to David out there. And he was bringing up this week on Facebook about Mark Twain. He had some really good, he was going through Mark Twain.
I've heard of him.
Quotes. Yeah, he's not very well known, right? But he actually put a YouTube video about, has like 35 of Mark Twain's quotes. He has a lot of them. I promise not to go through all of them. I'm going to hit some of the highlights. I know we all know who Mark Twain is, Samuel Clemens. The interesting thing I want to point out.
Which one?
Yeah, the one I'm talking about. He was born November 30th in 1835 and died April 21st, 1910. That's 74 years. He came in with Halley's Comet and died with Halley's Comet. That's an interesting fact about
That's
him.
That's right. I remember that.
Most people probably know that, but not everybody. He was a humorist, entrepreneur, publisher, great humorist. He was also a great friend. I say great. I don't know. Of Nikola Tesla. Oh. Not of me. Oh, you thought it was me. Of me. We talk all the time. So I could go on and on about him. He is one of my favorite, not the favorite, but he's one of my favorite historical people out there. I enjoy him very much. So I'm going to go over some of his quotes, this to kind of round out this dark and dire discussion we just had. Some of these we've heard, some of them we haven't, and they're always very clever. It is better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you are a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. I've had that.
That's a great
that
one.
Was on, I think that was on somebody's refrigerator one time. And I was like, it isn't.
Yep.
It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. That's also a good one. Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to pause and reflect. That's funny. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, that's good.
If it's your job to eat a frog, it's best to do it in the first thing in the morning. And if it's your job to eat two frogs, it's best to eat the biggest one first. I also have heard this where he says you can if the first thing in the morning eat a frog, and then nothing else will be worse than that the rest of the day.
Gotcha.
So
I was trying to figure that one out.
I
get it.
Maybe he can do that later on, right? Age is an issue of the mind over matter. If you don't mind, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I say that all the time.
Right. Patriotism is supporting your country all of the time and your government when it deserves it.
Yeah, amen.
All you need in this life is ignorance and confidence, and then success is sure. The secret of getting ahead is getting started. That's always a good one. Yeah, that's a good one here. Mm-hmm. Anger is an acid that you can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than anything on which it is poured. That's a very famous one and also very important, so that's a great one. In the first place, God made idiots. That was for practice. Then he made school boards. I am an old man and have known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. He's a great storyteller, by the way. Mm-hmm. Suppose you were an idiot, and suppose you were a member of Congress, but I repeat myself.
That's true. That's great.
I've got a couple more here. I could read these all day, right? The fear of death follows from the fear of life. A man who lives fully is prepared to die at any time. And it says, buy land. They're not making it anymore.
Right. My dad has said that.
Forgiveness is the fragrance. This is my favorite one, by the way. Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violent sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Mm. That is a good one.
I like that.
Get your facts first. Then you can distort them as you please.
Right.
This is go to heaven for the climate, hell for the company. A couple more here. A man who carries a cat by the tail learns something he can learn in no other way.
That's good, a good one.
Good friends, good books, and a sleepy conscience. This is the ideal life. Don't let schooling interfere with your education. And I'll end on this one. Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good
one. Those are good. Those are all good.
Yeah. And like I said, I could go on and on and on, but we'll save that for another time, right?
A lot of them I've heard and a lot of them I didn't. Yeah.
So Mark Twain, God bless him. He's out there.
Sammy.
Laughter is one of the best ways to balance out your life. And I'm telling you, you can eat. My grandfather used to say it, and I think I've said that in this podcast. You have two choices. You can either laugh or you can cry. You might as well laugh when you can. And sometimes, like you said earlier, it's like, sometimes I just need to cry. Like
I wasn't laughing.
Or punch somebody. Yeah. Well, fine. But now you came here and now you're laughing, right?
Oh, yeah.
So this is our way of.
And I'm laughing with us, not at us.
No, you're just laughing at me.
That's right. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway.
Now I'm uncomfortable over here.
Oh, thank you. That was good.
No problem at all. No problem.
No, Sammy.
And thank you, David, for giving me inspiration.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. And he listens. He's a listener.
Nice. He's a creepy.
He's on our group. Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, David.
I think just Facebook. So.
Okay.
Anyway, he'll get TikTok, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. He'll catch up.
No.
No, I'm not. So coming out of that middle-aged moment, am I saying that right? No. Middle-aged moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said it right. You can get in contact with us if you still want to after
this. What happens when it's like episode. We record 4 days later than what we should have or whatever.
Exactly, right? We're in some kind of a trance. I'm in a trance.
Sunday recordings are weird. I mean, yeah. I like them, but it throws me off.
They are weird, I know. Yeah.
Long as Sean's not in the creepy corner.
Oh, the confessional
corner. I'm about to put him in the creepy corner.
I didn't have to be
I'm going
to
tell you right now.
Confessional corner.
Sam is
Is he blowing farts over there?
I
eyes watering. Why are you crying?
He needed the cry.
I'm eating
Come on.
I'm eating one of my daughter's Kind bars. These are really good, by the way.
Oh, nice.
And when I'm taking a bite, I can take
his farts are not
hit,
kind.
It's hit me in the mouth, and I'm like, oh my gosh!
Oh my gosh!
Anyway, oh, wow,
he's rotten.
He is rotten.
We're
it's unbelievably rotten. Anyway,
we're never gonna be able to.
Sorry, Sean. Go ahead.
No, don't be sorry.
Oh man,
You guys, you listeners, can contact us out there. We have an email account. People still use those. It is makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's in the Mako. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Middle Agent Creeped Out, and TikTok is at Mako Podcast, right?
We're having some good fun activity.
We are. It's grown on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Watch out.
And then social media. Yeah. Oh, yeah, TikTok. We're up to, what'd I say, 86 followers. Getting up to 100 close.
My goodness.
Let's do it. No. It's fun, though. Yeah.
Look at us little old men. We're little old. I'm the little.
You're the old?
No. I'm just kidding.
I am the old.
He's like, what are you going to say?
Wait, so you're about 43, right?
42.
42. Okay, so.
I'm going to go backwards.
We'll see
from
if you make 43.
Yeah, I may not make 43 after tonight.
I'm just kidding.
Phew. Please check out our Tuesday Terrors every Tuesday. They're on Tuesdays, right? Not Thursdays. We always point that. Nate likes to point that out. You sure it's not Thursdays? Not Wednesdays yet?
Check out our Tuesday Terrors.
Only Thursday. If we're having a really bad.
Every Sunday.
If we're having a really bad Tuesday, it might be another day.
Oh, we're just kidding. It's on Wednesday.
Everybody knows that.
Ooh, my week's up this week.
We have little segments, right? Little horror stories. It may or may not be always complete-ish to your liking.
I like to, when I write mine, I like to leave a little open-ended.
Exactly.
And use your imagination. And then some of them I've read, same thing.
Perfectly okay.
Like, yeah.
End of story, right?
what did the guy say?
Finish the story!
Finish the story!
We're going to have t-shirts made to say finish the story.
You know what I hear?
We'll finish it and then we'll read it.
Yeah. Yeah, let them finish it.
I think I see Sensei Kreese. You know, when he's like, finish him! Finish the story! I have I'm like, oh! Okay. Yes, Sensei!
Finishing move. That's awesome.
Cobra Kai
is awesome.
All right.
So you can listen to us. Come listen to us, please. And listen to us on any of the major listening platforms. We're on all of them.
Major, minor.
Come out. Major, minor. We're all in between, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Come find us.
And we're not removing ourselves from Spotify.
I didn't say it on the merch, so I'm going to say it here.
I didn't say that.
Come get some.
Oh, yeah, you didn't say
I
that.
I didn't say that this time. So come get some.
Come get some.
From the listening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm done. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Crickets. This is,
I know. No wonder Sam's just letting bombs because he's like, I think he's trying to tell
he's
us.
He's got
to
stop us. Yeah.
You
stop,
guys
stop,
done
stop.
Yet?
He's like, man.
For the love of God, stop.
Is that all the announcements?
I believe so.
Oh, wow. Okay. It seemed like it was really short.
Do you not want to let us go? I'll never let you go. And that how Titanic ended where she lets him, she's like, peeling his hand off of her hand and like, I'll never let you go as he's sinking.
Yeah, so, but I gotta let you go.
But I gotta get on with life.
Let's get to our man, Nate. Nate, help us out, man.
You can ask me again, but the answer will always be that's a wrap.
He's back.
I could tell by his look.
He's got
proud.
One.
I know.
He got one in his hip pocket.
I wrote that at the very beginning of the podcast.
Oh. It wasn't look at like him being all prepared.
2 minutes before I needed it.
That's funny.
Chowing down on his macaroni
sometimes
and chicken.
Happens. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to end with. I don't know.
I don't know what to do with my Nate's a wrap. Or Nate's a wrap. That's a wrap.
We're all a wrap.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you,
put
sir,
a fork
for
in us. We're done,
put
right?
A fork. We are done. Woo. Well, guys, that was episode 51, and we appreciate you listening. As always, creepies, we love bringing this creepy stuff to you.
We really do.
And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.